Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life, the radio ministry, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Clearwater, Florida. We're very glad to have everybody join us on this day one of December. How amazing is that? Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. And I know everybody's kind of rushing around now, getting ready for Christmas. And actually, that's kind of going to be what we talk about a little bit today. So, Pastor Marcia, who normally hosts the show, is visiting family in Texas. She's visiting her son and her daughter-in-law, who is they're expecting their second child. So, praise God for that. I am Jim Ellsbury, the associate pastor. I am joined here in the studio by Nan Watson. Nan, we're so glad to have you with us.
Always a pleasure to be here, Pastor.
I'm glad to hear that. I'd hate for this to be a drudge.
Oh, I'd tell you what, if it was, I wouldn't even waste it. I wouldn't spend my time. If this was drudgery, I would not spend two hours of my day plus the travel time to be here.
Not.
Absolutely not.
Of course not. So, again, this is the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope. We are located now at 2058 Weaver Drive in Clearwater. For those of you maybe familiar with the area, we're just really right across the street from the Clearwater Air Park. So, makes us easy to find. Our services are at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We do gather for prayer about 9 o'clock. We gather for prayer in the pastor's office and then have our service at 10. On Wednesdays, we have Bible study. We start about 5:45 with prayer requests. We read out of the, we have a prayer book, Prayers That Avail Much, very scriptural prayers. We use that. We take prayer requests. We are a church that believes in prayer. We believe that God answers prayer. We know he does. We believe it and we know it because we've seen it happen. Also, we have Bible study that starts at 6:30. Right now, our current series for Bible study is Discovering Your Motivational Gifts. And 2 weeks ago, well, a week and a half, the Wednesday before last, we talked about the gift of prophecy. So we're looking forward to that. These are the gifts that God gives us that motivates us, that move us to do things. So that should be really good. Also, the other radio show that we have is Go Yard with Mama Mac, which is Pastor Marsh's alter ego, and Dr. Angel. It is a life coaching show. It is on Tan Talk on Thursday, starting at 6:07, right after the 6 o'clock news. It's an hour-long show, life coaching. Nan, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, I always call it free counseling. You know, seriously, I mean, with the experience and expertise that Dr. Angel has, with the experience and experience that Pastor Marcia has, Mama Mac, with regards to all the years she has spent in ministry, between the two of them, there's a lot of lots of facts and information between the two of them. And so if it's a subject, you're not going to call in and ask about some subject that's not what they're talking about. Of course, you can't do that. But if you're you could, but they're not going to be, they just shouldn't do that.
Right. Right.
Just whatever. If the subject is something that is, you know, that you're interested in, you can call in, you can make a comment, you can ask a question. I've done both. You know, and like I said, I call it free counseling. If someone has a question about something and relates to what they're talking about, call it.
Amen. Amen. And I normally, Pastor Marcia is in the engineer booth. I do want to give a shout out to Tommy, who is our engineer for today.
Bobby.
But I don't know why I keep calling you Tommy.
We all sound alike here. But yes, glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. I'll try and get the name straight from
this. It'll be straight by the end of the show.
We hope.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby, for coming in so that we could have our show.
No problem.
We really appreciate that.
No problem.
Amen. And this morning at service, we talked about the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth, what the prophets and even Moses wrote down about the birth of Jesus. And I do want to touch on those a little bit later, you know, as we start this show. But I want to concentrate today, I think, on why You know, we talked about the who, what, when, where, mm-hmm. and I want to talk a little bit about the why. Why did Jesus have to come? And, you know, like I said earlier, it is so easy in this season just to get all lost in everything that, goes on. I mean, having to buy presents, and I like what they said on Truth Talk just the show before us. So I'm not buying anything. Here's my gift. It's the gospel of Jesus. but it's so easy to get wrapped up in all of those gifts and having to send out Christmas cards and have and you're feeling like you have to decorate and you have to be in a good mood because you're supposed to be happy around Christmas. And we lose sight of the real reason. You know, and I think it's actually even become kind of trite to say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. Mm-hmm. And I think that becomes trite sometimes and just meaningless. You know, people just kind of say it and don't really think about it. And that's what I want to do today is really give some thought to that. So why don't we open with, prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, that you are allowing us to share your word on the radio. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a voice. You've given us a message. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your spirit to us to, help guide, direct, lead, and fill us. Father, we ask that your hand be on this show. We ask, Lord God, that you would just touch souls out there in the audience. Whether they're listening live or listening later, Lord, we just ask that you would move in people's lives. Grant them, Lord, the knowledge of you, the one true God, and Jesus the Messiah, whom you have sent. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to start off with a song. It's going to be a little different because this one is instrumental. It's Casting Crowns, but it's their instrumental version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And it's a little different. I just want people to think, kind of meditate on what Christmas means to you while this song is being played. Thank you. Amen. I love that version of that. It's just kind of nice. You can kind of put aside all the busyness, excuse me, and just really kind of meditate on that. And so this morning, we do this, it's kind of a tradition at Beacon. Around Christmas, we'll talk about the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth. And why is it important to know these, Nan?
Well, people need to, we need to really recognize and understand what a miracle it was to have Jesus Christ born of the Virgin Mary, you know, and to see the lineage as it comes down, as you so wonderfully shared this morning with us. And I know that it's kind of traditional, we do that every year to keep us refocused on that and to focus on that during the season. But we need to really realize just how important that was. That's a key component, that he was born of Virgin Mary. And the lineage that came down, that he fulfilled, you know, all the prophecies that you were speaking about this morning. You know, how just through generation, through generation, through generation, it was prophesied here, it was fulfilled there, it was prophesied here, it was fulfilled there, and boom, there came Jesus.
Amen, amen. And I mentioned this morning, Peter writes in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 3, that we need to give a reasonable defense of our faith. And I mentioned too, and I encourage everybody at church, and I'll encourage everybody on the radio, if you look through the book of Acts and look at the sermons that were preached, that Peter and Paul preached, they all were based on fulfilled scripture. The only one that wasn't was Paul in Athens, and that was kind of a failure. I mean, let's be blunt, there weren't that many converts. But every time that the apostles pointed out that it was prophecy fulfilled, I mean, you know, the Spirit moved and people got saved. And that's why it's important. We need to know these things. So someone can say, well, why do you believe? Well, here, this is why. Mm-hmm. God said it, and he fulfilled it.
He
prophesied it. He said it was going to happen, and it did. And Nan has a favorite number of mine. I'm not going to ask her to repeat it.
Thank you. I was energized. Where's my sheet from this morning? One, I can do it with this sheet from this morning.
Yeah, I put it on the sheet that I used this morning. It's an old book called Science Speaks. And two men, and I don't remember their names right offhand, but they calculated that for any one person to have fulfilled 8 of the major prophecies concerning Jesus, the chances of that happening are 1 in 100 quadrillion. And that's just 8 of the prophecies.
That's 100 with 15
about 14 zeros.
I counted them this morning.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's more people than have ever lived on the planet.
Right, yeah.
So it boils down to nobody else could have done this but Jesus.
I get all excited. You know, every Christmas, I'll forget the amount of zeros. Sometimes during the year, I'll ask, you know, what was that again?
Well, how many zeros was
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
But we talked about the lineage, like Nan had mentioned, of Jesus, how God promised Abraham, out of all the people on the planet, God chose Abraham and said, all nations will be blessed through you, through your seed, through your descendant. And he gave that same promise to Abraham's son Isaac and to Isaac's son Jacob. So out of all the people of earth, we've kind of narrowed it down. Basically, Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we've narrowed it down basically to the Jewish people. The Messiah had to come through the Jewish people. And I kept saying, well, that wasn't good enough for God. He narrowed it down to the tribe of Judah, to a man named Jesse, who had how many sons, Nan? See if she remembers from this morning.
8.
Very good, Nan.
And I'm not even looking at my notes.
He had 8 sons. Jesse had 8 sons. And who was the youngest?
David.
Very good. It is, as a pastor, it warms my heart to know somebody was listening. But yes, David was Jesse's youngest son, who later became, of course, King David. And he, it was in Jeremiah chapter 23, toward the end of the kingdom of Judah, when, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was coming to fight against it. Jeremiah was given a prophecy, and he said, you know, a branch is going to rise. That's a term for the Messiah. And in his day, all Judah will be saved, and his name will be called the Lord, our righteousness. And that's talking about the Messiah. And so he had to be through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, through Jesse, through David. Had to be a descendant of David somehow. Now, that narrowed it down quite a bit.
I'd like to say something here. Mm-hmm. I meant to do it earlier and didn't. We had the song come up. But I would like to encourage people, if they're listening to this in a situation where they can write at home, pull out a journal, pull out a notebook. Obviously, you're not going to do it driving down the road. But
no, please don't.
Please don't. But grab a notebook and make some notes on this show. The show we know is going to be a really faith builder, you know, and to have that notes. I've actually started taking notes from I take notes at church and I take notes at Bible study. But now I've started taking notes at the radio station too, because there's just so much more that is said there too. So I would just encourage people, you know, if they're able to do that, I would encourage them to do that.
And thank you, Nan. That's a good point. Another alternative would be you can email me at Pastor Jim, that's my email address, isn't it? Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. And just ask, I have it in a Word document, simple little Word document, just the handout that I gave today. I'd be more than happy to email
that.
That
was a great
handout. It goes into all the scriptures and details that we probably won't be able to get to today. But, yeah, that would be an idea, too.
Again, that's
Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. And, you know, we talked about it was prophesied where Jesus would be born. And, you know, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, small among the clans of Judah, from you shall come one who comes from the days of eternity. And that's talking about the Messiah. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little while. But, you know, that was Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Mm. The Bible, the prophet Daniel even pinpointed the time when the Messiah would come. And Daniel in chapter 9 is prophesied that from the going out of a decree to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, there would, to the time of the Messiah, would be 483 years. Well, that decree, I believe, was the one written by Artaxerxes in 458 BC, which brings us then to 25 AD, which is very likely when John the Baptist started his ministry, and shortly thereafter, when Jesus started his. Because, you know, we know Jesus was born, you know, our little BC AD thing is a little off. He was actually born about 4 or 5 BC, which would, according to Luke, he was about 30 years old. So that would put it there about 25, 26 AD. So that fits. I mean, God is so perfect in all of this. He chose the lineage. And by the way, both Mary and Joseph were descended of King David. He chose the place. He chose the time. He chose the method. And he prophesied it all. And that's so wonderful. God did not leave one detail about Jesus' birth like kind of hanging loose. He prophesied it all, that it would occur. So let's go to a song right now. How about that? We've got one, Born in Bethlehem, oddly enough, by Third Day.
Baby Jesus, born in a stable, a humble Savior's birth. You left your throne in heaven above to live here on the earth. Baby Jesus, lying in a manger, crying for the world. And the angels told the shepherds of the good news for us all. Hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. And you saints, all peasants and all kings, and bow before the earth's Redeemer, let all voices sing. Jesus, do you know you'll die for all our sins? And don't be afraid, for in 3 days you will rise again.
That song by Third Day, because it encapsulates kind of everything where I wanted to go today. That it is Christmas, but Christmas would not have meant anything, and we certainly wouldn't be celebrating it unless Jesus went to the cross and rose again. That's what sets him apart, is he's not just a dead hero. He's a risen Lord. And, you know, that's why I celebrate Christmas. I mean, and I said this at church this morning, I am just a big old sentimental fool when it comes to Christmas. I, you know, those commercials on TV, oh my gosh. You know, I'll break down and cry at the Folgers commercials now. But I think that's okay, because there is a lot of sentiment around Christmas, and that can be and is okay, because I think this is one time of the year when people's hearts maybe are a little more tender to hearing the gospel, you know, because there is so much that goes on with Christmas, and, you know, it's kind of hard to escape manger scenes everywhere. But I did want to talk now about how it happened, you know. Then I want to talk about the why, But, you know, Nan had mentioned before Jesus being born of a virgin. And I know people are just out there shaking their heads, thinking, well, that can't happen. Well, it can, and it did. It was prophesied that it would. And we talked about it this morning. What, you know, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. And in ancient times, a betrothal, it was not anything like our engagement period now. Okay? Betrothal was a legal contract that you could only get out of by divorce. It wasn't like you gave the engagement ring back and that was that. It was legal. It was like marriage in every way, except the bride was not living with the groom, and they could not consummate the marriage until they were actually married. I think the time between betrothal and, I mean, it varied, but between betrothal and marriage, sometimes around a year or so. So we know that Mary was betrothed.
Well, tell what happens during that year, what I learned this morning.
Oh, okay.
About the guy.
Okay. What happens is the guy.
Sorry.
in this case, Joseph would have gone to his house to make sure there was enough room for his bride. Back then, a lot of times people just live with their families, and when somebody got married, you just built a room on to the house. So that's what the bridegroom would be doing, would be getting a room ready for the bride. When the room was ready, there would be a procession. He'd go pick up the bride and bring her back to the house. Sound familiar? John chapter 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms.
That's true.
I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is our bridegroom. He's gone to prepare a place for us. We are betrothed to Jesus. And the marriage, of course, will take place when Jesus comes back. So here we've got this virgin, and, you know, nobody knows how old she was, but probably quite young, 14, 15, 16 years old. And she sees this angel, and it's Gabriel, one of the few angels that actually has a name in the Bible. And he says, you know, don't worry, Mary. And he calls her the highly graced one. And we're also called that in Ephesians chapter 1. So don't be afraid. I've got some news for you. And he goes on to announce that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, that she's going to give birth to the King of Israel. And can you imagine this young girl, angel's telling her this, and she could have reacted like her relative Zechariah and said, yeah, right, prove it. Remember what happened to him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was struck deaf and mute.
And mute. Can you imagine?
I know. Don't talk back to an angel. But Mary, on the other hand, said, how shall this be? How will this happen? Not how can it happen, but how is it going to happen? You know, it's like, I don't disbelieve you, Gabriel. I just want to know what's going to happen. And Gabriel says in Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And we talked about that this morning. And if in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, under the Old Covenant, the best you could hope for was a temporary anointing of the Holy Spirit. The book of Judges is full of examples of that. The Holy Spirit came upon this one and that one and this one and that one and empowered them for a specific task, like Samson. Of course, that didn't work out too well with him. No. But Deborah and Gideon in the book of Judges, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit for a specific task. Saul, the first king of Israel, and David. Even the prophets did not know the Holy Spirit in the way that we do today. And yet the Holy Spirit was going to come upon Mary. Now remember, she's still under the old covenant. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Get a picture of this. You know, you probably think of the Ten Commandments as the best example I can think of with Charlton Heston. The way that they depict the glory of God, that pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, that's the glory of God. That's what fell upon Mary. It says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It was a cloud. The same word there in the Greek is used in the Gospels for when, at the Transfiguration, when that cloud descended upon Jesus and Moses and Elijah and James, Peter, John, and James. That's that same word. And that's what happened to Mary. Somehow, don't know how, it's a mystery. I'm not going to try and explain how. I just know that it happened. The Holy Spirit, the glory cloud of God, fell upon Mary and took one of her eggs and miraculously fertilized it. And in that moment, the Son of Man and the Son of God became human. I mean, became a person. Without Jesus ever losing any of his divinity, and yet being fully human. Somehow that happened. And, you know, in liturgical churches like the Roman Catholics, the Episcopalians, they call Christmas the Feast of the Incarnation. That's a big theological word. It just means when Jesus took on flesh. When he became a man, when he became human. And that actually happened 9 months before. You know, he didn't come out of Mary's womb and then became a man. He became a man at the moment of his conception in Mary's womb. And I think that's cool because, and I'm going to share a little, I'm going to go off task here a minute. I do not believe that December 25th is the birthday of Jesus. Never have, never will. I believe it happened during the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. The reason I think that is in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word for dwelt literally is tabernacled. He pitched his tent. So if you back up 9 months from the Feast of Tabernacles, and I really doubt that shepherds would be out in the middle of December watching their sheep, okay? But, and if you back up 9 months in a Jewish leap year, you come up to the Feast of Hanukkah, the dedication of the temple, also known as the Feast of Lights. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. Very cool.
Very cool.
I think Gabriel came to Mary sometime during the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. Jesus then was born in the first month, or the seventh month of the year, which would be during the Feast of Tabernacles. Very cool. Very cool stuff. You know me, I like all that kind of stuff. So that's neither here nor there, and I would not kick anybody out of church for believing that Jesus was born on December 25th. I just don't happen to think that. And nobody knows for sure.
Well, those are situations where you just agree, disagree, and move forward.
Amen.
You don't let it cause some big theatrical problem.
Theatrical. Wherever.
Well, I was going to say theatrical production, but it didn't seem like the right word there. You know?
I know what you mean. So, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin who was betrothed. And remember, Joseph at first wasn't having it. You know, if you read Matthew chapter 1, Joseph just was not having it at all. He thought she'd been unfaithful to him, and according to the law, she'd have to die for it. The consequences under the law of Moses was for Mary to be stoned. I mean, that's pretty severe. But again, an angel appeared to him and said, and explained to him that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So And I'm probably, if I'm here on the 15th, I'm going to play the song Joseph's Lullaby by Mercy Me. and just an incredibly good song. Told, it's a lullaby from Joseph's point of view. But think about it. Here, Joseph is risking his own reputation. You know, it's his reputation on the line. He's marrying somebody who's pregnant. Everybody's going to assume either he did it, which was still against the law, or that she went out on him. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine how many people, and I'm sure Nazareth, which is where they all lived, was just a gossipy little town like most little towns. You know, if you grew up in a small town, you know, everybody knows everybody's business. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, there was probably some, you know, over the fence gossip going on about Mary. But Joseph just ignored it. He knew what God had told him, took her to be his wife. She gave birth.
Well, I think that gives us, you know, sometimes what you may do may seem a little bit unusual or odd to people. But if God has told you to do whatever it is that it is, you can move forward in confidence that you have heard from God. You know, and like the angels, you know, coming to Mary and explaining, the angel coming to Joseph and explaining, you know, and then they knew the plan. They knew the plan. They knew how the plan was going to operate, what was happening with that plan. So they both were able to move forward in confidence, knowing that they were doing what they were supposed to do. And regardless of what people said about them, which they were talking, I'm sure, regardless of what people said about them, to ignore all that because they were part of a very godly plan that was going on. And I think that we can use that as an example for ourselves. Maybe sometimes what someone does seems a little bit unusual, but
the Nan has ever done anything like that.
There's been some.
You're the best example I know.
Yeah, there's been some interesting times, but you know, and just as a side, I mean, yes, he's done that with me many times, and y'all know some of them, but it's a special thing mm-hmm. when he does that, you know. And regardless of what people were to say about me, whatever I've done, it's like, you know, he's taught me a lot of lessons in the midst of the journeys that he's taken me on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I'm thinking about them. I can relate with them. They know they've heard from God. They move forward in God, knowing that he has it all in control.
Well, right. It's a matter of obedience. Prophet Ezekiel was told to lay on his left side for, I don't know, 380 days and eat nothing but this gross bread. The prophet Isaiah was told to run around naked, you know, to prove a point. Yeah, I mean, there's other examples where people were told to do strange things, but they did them in obedience. And Mary, in the same way, did that because mm-hmm. I mentioned before, she said, how will this happen?
Right.
And then she could have said, count me out. I'm not going through this. And yet, you know, the angel said nothing. No word from God is impossible. And she said, well, okay, let it be done to me according to your word. I mean, she submitted and she was obedient. She knew what she might face, but she did it anyway. And that's a pretty amazing, I mean, that's pretty amazing for a 14-15-year-old girl.
I was going to say, take a 14-year-old girl that you know, so, you know, maybe your friends have a 14-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl, and think about that, of how that, you know, how that person would be so willingly obedient once told the plan, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, just... that's just incredible. I mean, it's kind of, I was thinking while you were speaking, it's pretty neat. God knew who on the earth he needed to have to bear his son. He chose the right one. He brought her through the correct lineage and the time and the place and all that, you know, and, you know, for that one little, probably 14-year-old, but when that little girl, I mean, 14-year-old's still really a little girl. I mean, mm-hmm. she's a teenager, but she's kind of a little girl, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine it, especially some of the 14-year-olds I know.
I agree.
You know, it's like, yeah, okay. But, you know, the point is she was obedient.
Right.
And because of that, our Savior was born into the world. And God moved not only in their lives, but also he moved a Roman emperor at that point in time. You know, because there was that census, which was actually to get you on the tax rolls. So they did that, and it came from the emperor, from Caesar, at that point, Caesar Augustus. Now, don't tell me God can't move in the leaders of the world, because he did that to get, they lived in Nazareth, they needed to get to where? Where was Jesus, the Messiah, supposed to be born? Bethlehem. It was arranged that everybody had to go back to their ancestral home. Guess what? That was Bethlehem. So off they go to Bethlehem. And Jesus was born there. So God moves even the rulers of the world. He will move to get his plan done. So let's go to a song right now, Shining Light by Rend Collective.
In the night, yeah, you are a shining light. You lit a torch in the infinite. Yeah, you are a shining light. Yeah, you light up my life. You have always been a thorn in the side, but to me, you're a shining light. You arrive and the night is alive. Yeah, you are a shining light. Yeah, you light up my life. We made a connection, a full-on chemical reaction, brought by dark divine intervention. Yeah, you are a shining light, a constellation once seen. By dark divine intervention, yeah, you are a shining light, a constellation once seen. Oh, the royal David city, and a and burn in the night. Yeah, you are a shining light. Yeah, you light up my life.
Hey, man, I like that song. Well, I like the group Wren Collective, too. I think they're great. Yeah, so we've been talking about the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth. You know, we've talked now about Jesus' birth, well, at least conception, and then God moved them to Bethlehem. And something else happened around sometime before Jesus was born. And these astrologers from the East noticed some changes in some of the stars. We're never quite sure exactly what happened, whether it was a star that went supernova or some, you know, conjunction of a couple of planets or whatever. But something happened that got their attention, and they set off from the East, probably from Babylon, actually. And if they lived in Babylon, they would have known about, because so many of the Jews had been exiled there, they would have known maybe some of the prophecies. So something caught their eye, and they decided, wait a minute, this looks like the King of the Jews is being born. Don't know how they figured that out, but they did. So they left and went to Judea and met up with King Herod. Now, Matthew's got a little bit of sense of humor in the way he writes it, because the wise men, they're called, you know, we always call them wise men. In this one case, they weren't all that wise, because they go to the man who called himself the King of the Jews, Herod the Great, and said, where is he born, this King of the Jews? Well, you got to figure Herod was pretty offended by that. I mean, here's, you know, these, you know, bigwigs, these from the East come and are asking me about the King of the Jews, and it ain't me. And, you know, he lied to them and pretended that he wanted to worship Jesus. And we know what happened is, you know, they went, they found Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and they presented him with gifts of Nan?
Frankincense. Myrrh, I can't remember. And I forgot the other one.
Gold.
Gold. Oh, wait, how can I forget gold?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you.
And this is actually kind of a nice jumping off point to exactly where I wanted to get to today. Gold represents royalty. You know, you think of kings. Okay, always got a lot of gold. Okay, frankincense. Okay, incense. Who is the only one worthy to be in? You know, to get incense.
Jesus.
Exactly. Remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about our prayers rising before him as incense. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, when the high priest would go in there into the second chamber, the holy place, he would, you know, light incense, you know. So frankincense denotes divinity. And myrrh is a bitter herb, which was used to anoint people when they died. Myrrh was always associated with anointing people when they died. In fact, I believe it's in the Gospel of John, it talks about the women bought the spices, including myrrh, to anoint his body after he had died. So the Magi, the wise men, presented these gifts prophetically, I believe, because they saw that he was the king. They saw that he was divine, and they knew about his death. Again, not sure how, but maybe they studied Isaiah chapter 53, which we'll probably talk about when we get close to Easter. But, you know, they somehow knew. And they presented those gifts, and then they were warned not to go back to Herod. And when Herod found out that they snuck out of town, that's when he had all the male children in Bethlehem killed. Nobody knows how many that was. I'm not sure how big Bethlehem was. But at that point in time, remember the census was probably still going on because that's a process. And, you know, I don't know how many children, little boys were killed, but that's what Herod is most known for, of course. And then Mary and Joseph, an angel appeared to them and said, get out of town. Your lives are in danger. And they went to Egypt. And there is a prophecy in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, that says, when Israel was young, I loved him. Now, Jesus, of course, represents all of Israel. And out of Egypt, I did call my son. So, remember, the angel appeared and said, your enemies are dead. You can go home now. So, they went and lived in Nazareth. They went back to their hometown of Nazareth. Incredible that God, you know, would do all that. So, why did he do that?
Because he loves us.
How do you know that?
Because the Bible says he does, and I feel him in my heart.
Yeah, I love putting Nan on the spot.
He sure does.
And remember, and we didn't touch on this prophecy for a purpose yet, and that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is one of the questions where I stumped Nan this morning. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? It's when the serpent...
My Bible.
Yeah, go get your Bible.
Serpent, I have it right here.
The serpent appeared to Eve, and Adam, we find out later, was there the whole time. Everybody blames Eve, but we find out Adam was there the whole time. And the serpent deceived her, you know, made her doubt God's goodness. Okay, if Satan can make you doubt God's goodness, then he's got you right where he wants you. He said, did God really say you can't eat of any of these trees? Like, man, God must not like you very much to make you starve. And then Eve said, no, we can eat of them all except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't eat it and we can't touch it. God never told her she couldn't touch it. He just told her not to eat it. So you could already see Eve's on shaky ground at that point.
You're not kidding.
And the devil said, you know, because she said, in the day we eat of it, we're going to die. And the devil then just flatly says, you will not die. For God knows when you eat it, you'll become like him, knowing good from evil. You'll become like little gods. Hey, that's an offer you can't refuse. And so she took the, whatever it was, most people think it was an apple, who knows?
Who knows, just a piece of fruit.
A piece of fruit. She ate it, and the Bible says, handed it to her husband who was there. So he was there, Adam was there the whole time. Instead of doing what he needed to do and take authority, because he was given authority over all the animals, he didn't. And so he ended up sinning also, and at that point, death entered into the world. But God, do you think God was taken by surprise?
No.
No, absolutely not. He knew this was going to happen, and he knew it was because he gave us free will. You know, to me that in a weird way, that to me shows God's love. Because I would rather freely love him than be forced to or have it programmed in me like a robot. You know, that's not love. That's a program. You know, I'm doing it because I'm programmed to do it. And yet he gave us free will, and what a risk he took, because he knew what was going to happen. And yet in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see the very first prophecy, which is, I will put enmity between your seed, talk to the serpent, between your seed and the seed of the woman. He will crush your head. He, the man, will crush your head, serpent, and you will bruise his heel. And I talked a little bit this morning. That's so unusual, because you never, anywhere else in the Bible, do you hear the phrase seed of the woman or seed of Ruth or, you know, Sarah or whatever. That's always reserved for seed of Abraham, seed of Isaac, seed of Jacob.
Mm.
It's always a male thing. So I just thought that was really unusual because that shows this person, whoever this descendant of Eve is going to be really unusual because he's going to come from a woman only, apparently. That's hinted at right there in the garden. How wonderful God is to have not been taken by surprise and to have a plan already in place. He knew that Jesus was going to do this. Jesus had already accepted that role. Revelation calls him the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus already knew what God's plan was, and he was ready to do it, which is just a wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus accepted the Father's plan. From eons past, from infinity time back, he knew what was going to happen. And we're going to follow up a lot more on this in the second hour. Can you believe, Nan, an hour has already passed?
No, I cannot believe it.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Amen. Well, we're back with the second hour of Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Clearwater, Florida. We're glad that you've joined us. This is Pastor Jim. I'm the associate pastor. I'm filling in for Pastor Marcia, who's in Texas. Here in the studio with me is Nan Watson.
Hi.
With she got these flashing Christmas lights all over her, so.
Hey, it's after Thanksgiving. We can start doing Christmas stuff, you know.
Well, she's all Christmassy today. And again, special thanks to Bobby. Yay!
No problem.
Got it right.